attempt to read the sloka and comment on Srila Prabhupada's purport that requests all the blessing of all the Vaishnavas. I'm not qualified to give a lecture, but by the blessing of the Vaishnava, I am here trying to explain something and understand something. Hare Krishna. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the characteristic of King Puranjana. It's 4th canto, chapter 25, text 4. Shreyas Tvam Atamat Rajan Karmanatmana Karmanatmana Iyase Dukkha Hani Sukhavapti Shreyas Tam Neha Chisyate benediction. Tvam, you. Katamat, what is that? Rajan, O King. Karmanya, by fruitive activity. Atmanaha, of the soul. Iyase, you desire. Dukkahani, disappearance of all distresses. Sukhamapti, attainment of all happiness. Shreya, benediction. Tat, death. Na, never. Iha, in this connection. Cha, and. Ishyate, is available. translation by Srila Prabhupada, Narada Muni asking Prachina Barisat, "My dear king, what do you desire to achieve by performing these fruitive activities? The chief aim of life is to get rid of all misery and enjoy happiness. But these two things cannot be realized by fruitive activity." Please repeat after me. Narada Muni asking Prachina Barisat. "My dear king, what do you desire to achieve by performing these fruitive activities? The chief aim of life is to get rid of all miseries and enjoy happiness. But these two things cannot be realized by fruitive activities." In this material world, there is a great illusion which covers real intelligence. A man in the mood of passion wants to work very hard to derive some benefit, but he does not know that time will never allow him to enjoy anything permanently. Compared with the work one expends, the gain is not so profitable. Even if it is profitable, it is not without its distresses. If a man is not born rich and he wants to purchase a house, cars, and other material things, he has to work hard day and night for many years in order to possess them. Thus, happiness is not attained without undergoing some distress. Actually, pure happiness cannot be had within this material world. If we wish to enjoy something, we must suffer for something else. On the whole, suffering is the nature of this material world, and whatever enjoyment we are trying to achieve is simply illusion. After all, we have to suffer the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death. We may discover many fine medicines, but it is not possible to stop the suffering of disease or death. Actually, medicine is not the counteracting agent for either disease or death. On the whole, there is no happiness in this material world, but an illusion person works very hard for so-called happiness. Indeed, this process of working hard is actually taken for happiness. This is called illusion. Therefore, Narada Muni asking Prachani Barishat, what he desires to attain by performing so many costly sacrifices. Even if one attains a heavenly planet, he cannot avoid the distress of birth, old age, disease, and death. Someone may argue that even devotees have to undergo many distresses in executing austerities and penances connected with devotional service. Of course, for the neophyte, the routine of devotional service may be very painful, but at least they have the hope that they will ultimately be able to avoid all kinds of distresses and achieve the highest perfection stage of happiness. For the common karmis, there is no such hope, because even if they are promoted to the higher planetary system, they are not guaranteed freedom from the misery of birth, old age, disease, and death. Even Lord Brahma, who is situated in the highest platform system, Brahmaloka, has to die. Lord Brahma, birth and death may be different from an ordinary man's, but within this material world he cannot avoid the distresses of birth, old age, disease, and death. If one is at all serious about attaining liberation from these miseries, he must take to devotional service. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Jamma karma chame dibhyam mevam jyoviti tattvata yakta deya punarjanmai naiti mameti svarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activity does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attain my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Thus, after attaining full Krishna consciousness, the devotee does not return to this world after death, goes back home, back to Godhead. This is the perfect stage of happiness, unblemished by any trace of stress. Om Agyana Dimandasya Agyana Jnana Sharapriya Chakshuram Vidamila Tasmai Shri Padayam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Padaya Shri Madhujadvati Swami Vidyanami Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Padaya Shri Madhubhakti Vidanta Swami Nidhanami Namaste Saksudaya Bhuvana Chani Nirvishesha Sunyamani Prasthaya Sitaya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Shri Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Pancha Kalpa Karubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavadibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So this is a very wonderful purport Srila Prabhupada is giving us. So much condensed nectar is there. So there is Srila Prabhupada is cutting the illusion of this material world. This material world is not designed for happiness. Srila Prabhupada lecture was here listening the other day. He said, Tapo dibhyam, one must perform austerity with this human form of life. Yeah? Of course, it's very hot, we're performing austerity, this would be Mayapur, right? We don't have to go to Rajasthan and put fire around in the middle of the desert to tolerate the heat. We can just sit in Mayapur and it's really hot. But we are blessed, there is the Ganges river is flowing from the lotus feet of the Lord. We can take bath in that Ganges and become purified. So the material world is a burning fire, is forest fire. It's described in the scripture. Is full of unlimited suffering. So it is not place for enjoyment. And somehow or another we have come to this material world, so we have to make the best use of the bad bargain. Of course, amongst the 8,400,000 different species of life, we have a human form of life, human body, which is a wonderful opportunity for us to realize the absolute truth. This material body is perfectly designed to make us understand the truth. Some suffering is there, some enjoyment is there, not too much enjoyment, mostly suffering. Actually they say enjoyment is the interruption of suffering. From when we are taking birth, you know, we come out of the womb of the mother, we start crying. Take the first breath. Where I am, this light, who is this, what I'm doing here? Somehow, we didn't make it back to the spiritual world, still here, in the material world. And we start crying. One devotee told me that he was crying, when he was 2 or 3 years old, he was crying all the time. And the mother was trying to give him milk, and sugar, and sweet, and this. But he said, I remember, I was not crying because I wanted anything, I was crying because why am I here again in the material world? Somehow you remember, you know, that, you know, he was again back into the baby body. So, but somehow or another, we are very fortunate. Brahmanda Brahmite Konyo Bhakti Vanji Guru Krishna Prashadapai Bhakti Lota Bij. This is, says that out of many, many millions of living entities, one, by the mercy of Krishna, get an opportunity to meet the devotee and to accept the Guru. And by the blessing of the Guru, he accepts Krishna. And by Krishna and Guru's blessing, the living entity can go back home, back to the spiritual world. So we must accept this process given to us by all the previous Acharya, this bhakti process. It is so powerful that can actually change our consciousness. What is our consciousness? In the material world, we always think we are the enjoyer. We come here from when we are small children, grown up, and we are all, everything is like we are the center of the universe. Our mother is feeding us, our father is loving us, all our relatives, they give us gifts, toys, and looks like every day we are the center of attraction. But then one day we realize that there is death. Huh? There's a nice story about Lord Buddha. When he was a young child, he was raised in a royal family, and his father and mother didn't want him to know that there is suffering and death. So they confined him within the kingdom. He was always surrounded by so many guards, and they would whisk him off if there was some accident, if there was somebody dying. So he never saw anybody dying, anybody suffering. But one day when he was wandering alone, away from the guards, he saw some people who were suffering. Some old people were crying. Some poor men, they were suffering because of hunger. They had nothing to eat. And he got shocked. And he saw some people dying. He said, what is this? Then he went and inquired, what is this? Why people are dying? Why people are suffering? And they said, no, don't worry. You know, you are prince. You're meant to enjoy life. We have so many beautiful girls. We have nice palace, beautiful lakes. Everything is set for you. No, I want to know why people are dying. And then he started to inquire. And then he made up his mind. He said, if I'm going to die, I'm not going to die like that. I have to attain realization. I have to attain enlightenment. So he went and meditated. Of course, he's an incarnation of the Lord. This is his pastime. But, you know, he went and meditated, and by the blessing of Krishna, who is Krishna himself, it shows like that he attained enlightenment. So, the living entity, most of the living entities in the material world, they are bhairmukha. They're forgetting about Krishna. They're forgetting about the spiritual world. They don't want to see suffering. They don't want to see death. Actually, India is a very nice place. Sometimes you see in the road people carry bolo haribol, bolo haribol, bolo haribol. And you see two bamboo, there's some white cloth and some garland. What is that? Oh, it's a dead body. Oh, really? No, if you come from the west, you don't see dead body. Right? If there is accident in the west, the first thing they do, they come there, they cover it up. The guy comes, they clean all the blood, everything, the car removes, and nothing happened. Everything is beautiful, joy life, go on, right? Everything is nice. But here in India you can see, you can go to Benares, you can go to Navadvip here, it's a burning ghat. It's an experience, I should say, because when you see somebody's body burning, then you think, oh, I'm going to end up like this too. So people are to die, we are going to die. Sometimes people used to ask my grandfather, you know, is this sure? Is true? He said, son, there is only one true thing, one sure thing. We're going to die. Death is sure, coming for everybody. No one can escape that. So, this is the nature of material world. And as Srila Prabhupada says, yes, people think, okay, we are suffering, but you are also suffering, you are devotee, you are also suffering, you have to go through so many austerities. You don't eat meat, fish, eggs, and you don't enjoy sex, you don't take intoxicant, you don't do this, you don't do that. How can you live? This is suffering, right? They think like that. But for the devotee, of course, Srila Prabhupada say, when you are neophyte, you think, oh my God, how can I do this? How can I live all these things? But then as you practice, you know, this practice of devotional service, the chanting of the holy name, the association of the body is so sweet, and everything becomes so wonderful. Everything becomes so sweet. And this austerity doesn't look like nothing. What is this? Living meat, fish, who wants to eat these things anyway? So, naturally, the living entity comes to pure devotional service, the stage where we can attain real happiness. So, devotional service is so powerful. That can really give happiness. Within this material world, right now, it's not that you have to wait that you go back to the spiritual world. No. Right now, you can enjoy. Susukam kartum abhyayam, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it's very enjoyable to perform devotional service. No, we sit with the devotees. There's a very nice, I was reading this wonderful book, I don't know how many of you have read, it's by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is my hero, and Illumination of Bhakti, Sri Bhakti Aloka. There is very nice, it says that the final instruction of Ramanujacharya, so I want to read it for you, that's very nice. The foremost instruction of Sri Ramanujacharya is this: if you cannot purify yourself by any endeavor whatsoever, then just go and sit with the Vaishnavas and you will achieve all auspiciousness. This is very nice. We only have to be with the Vaishnava. We have to choose association. Again, I quote my grandfather, who taught me many things when I was a child. He said, "Chi va con lo zoppo impara zoppicare." If you go with a man who is, how you say, who is limping, lame, he walks like this, then after some time you also walk like that. It's just by association. Is it? Is it true? Yes. So if you used to tell me also, hey, choose your association, choose somebody who's better than you, don't go with people who are below you. Always choose. And he said, you can know a man by his friends. He was a wise person. He gave me so many good instructions, which I still remember. Actually, when you are 10 years old, your grandfather tells you this thing, you think, why is he telling me all these things? But then in life, you remember, it's like, well, he was right. So we choose the association of Vaishnavas. Who are the Vaishnavas? Are those who are surrendered to the will of the Lord. They are not independent desire. They only want to please Krishna. Those are the Vaishnavas. And by associating with them, we can make advancement. It's very simple. It's not complicated. So this Bhakti Yoga is very joyfully performed. It's very wonderful. And it's creating all auspiciousness. So the body go and preach all over the world, waking up the jiva. Jiva jago. Hello, my dear sir, wake up! You have been in Maya for so many billions of life. In illusion, thinking you are the enjoyer, you are the center of the universe, you are God. You are not. You are the servant of God. And you really want to enjoy life? We can tell you how to enjoy life. You come and sit with the Vaishnavas. Take prasadam. Look at the beautiful Didi, Radha Madhava. Chant the holy name of the Lord, which is not different from the Lord. Enjoy this. This is real enjoyment. We have experience. Whenever we are preaching in South India with Satvi Prabhu and many other devotees, and we contact people, we want to make them life member, and we bring them to the temple, and they say, "Wow, I'm so happy. You know, I'm so happy to be with you people." Why? Because the devotee can bring people out of illusion. Of course, we must be sure that we are out of illusion. But if we follow the instruction of the spiritual master, we follow the regular principle and we chant sincerely without offenses the holy name, then we are situated on the right path. There is no way we can make mistake. There is no way we can fall down. Even if you fall down, the devotees are so merciful, they bring us back. Hey, come on, come here. Come and do devotional service. This is our natural position. This is our natural propensity to love Krishna, to perform devotional service for his pleasure. So yesterday when the devotee was telling me, I was asking his senior devotee, I was asking him, okay, how do you advance in devotional life? He said, it's very simple. He said, you take a notebook. Every day you write down, what did I do today for pleasing my own self? What did I do today for pleasing Krishna? And you write down everything. And you try to do things which is pleasing to Krishna. Then you can figure it out. But you have to be sincere. You don't have to show anybody. It's for your own self. Come on. Don't cheat yourself. How much food did you eat? How much prasad you eat for your pleasure or for Krishna's pleasure? In a higher level, we're supposed to eat only for maintaining the soul and body together. All the great Vaishnavas, the six Goswami, they minimize so much that they drink every few days some buttermilk. Of course, we should not artificially do this, but it's a gradual development of devotional service. We minimize the demands of the body. we minimize the material consciousness and we highlight the spiritual consciousness. How can I serve Krishna? Who am I? Krishna Nityadas, and the eternal servant of Krishna. Now, by the good fortune of the devotees, I am in association with these devotees, who are great devotees, who remind me always of Krishna, who encourage me in devotional service, who inspire me to be fixed on the pure bhakti platform. How fortunate I am. And where do I reside? In Mayapur, the center of the universe, with the Ganges which flows from the lotus feet of the Lord, where the chanting of the holy name is sung even by the birds. In the morning you wake up from Mangalarti, you hear so many birds chirping. They are actually singing the name of Gauranga. We cannot understand, but they are. So, we have to be very intelligent to appreciate and become free from anarthas. What is becoming free from anarthas? We just give up all these other desires which are not connected for Krishna. You know, we may have so many crazy desires. Again, we take a piece of paper and we write them all down. Okay, I want a helicopter, $200 million a month. I want to go to America, whatever, I don't know. Whatever everybody has desire, we have to think. Okay, are these desires connected with Krishna or not? If they are not, they crush them. I don't think this is connected. Helicopter, I don't need that. Ferrari, even if you have, you cannot drive in these roads, so better you cancel it. So, then we can estimate our devotional mentality. Because everything is about mood. Devotional service is about how we can please Krishna. We can see so many devotees, they're giving their life for preaching this Krishna conscious movement. They're giving up everything, they're dedicated. And they're amongst us. We can see them sitting here. All great devotees, all of you. So, why we are here? We shouldn't come here and think, okay, let me build some building, make a few lakhs and crores, so I may resign in Mayapur, I sit down and relax and chant Hare Krishna nicely. No. If you're supposed to get a few lakhs and crores, you'll get it anyway. But to endeavor to do that, it's not the auspicious path. Because to do that, you have to overcharge everybody else. Is a duplicious life. So we become free. We have to become free from duplicious endeavor. In this book, Bhaktiloka, I suggest everybody, all of us should read. It's explained about six auspicious things for devotional service and six not favorable things. Devotees should constantly take shelter of the holy name while passing their life without duplicity or sin. There is no greater religious principle than this. In the Chaitanya Bhagavad is given the following conclusion. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, chanting the holy name is the essential religious principle. No other religious practice can help one cross the material ocean of nations. Even the Vedas are unable to sufficiently glorify one who chants the Lord's holy name day and night in all situations. Human beings should worship Krishna by considering the natural quality and accepting the livelihood of the previous and later Mahajan. Pure devotional service is proportionately enhanced by following a proper occupation, otherwise it is never achieved. So, I think if we engage ourselves sincerely in devotional service, Krishna is our maintainer, Krishna is our friend, Krishna is everything. And whatever we need, Krishna will give us. We should have a firm faith. Kulavicha Sridhar was given blessing by Lord Chaitanya. I'll give you, I'm so happy with you. What do you want? Why didn't he ask, give me some building, I'll sell it, make some money, I'll build a new market where I sell vegetables, a supermarket where I can retail all the my vegetables. He didn't ask that, right? He didn't say, give me a nice airplane, I can fly, I don't know, what, Bimana. He didn't ask for any of these things. What did he ask? I only want your darshan every day. He was fighting with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya sometimes steal his cups and vegetables. He said, I will not pay you. He said, how can you not pay me? And he used to take 50% of his income, which was very meager, to worship Gangadev. So many great devotees. It doesn't matter whether we are rich or we are poor. There is so many other great devotees that were also appearing to be like materialistic people. They were very wealthy, they were very rich. But they just give up everything for Krishna service. So this service we are performing is so powerful, can actually bring us back, home, back to God. Because we'll develop love for Krishna. That is called Krishna Prema. That is the ultimate goal of life. Actually, devotional service, once you start performing the devotional service, we are already liberated. The platform of devotional service starts from liberation. And then we advance more and more up to the level of Prema. To the point that Krishna becomes controlled by that devotee who has Prema. He wants to be controlled. Krishna wants to be controlled by Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda is chasing him with a stick. He said, you rascal, come here, I'll beat you. Krishna is enjoying that. She's a pure devotee. She's the mother. She can do that. Krishna is very naughty. But he chooses to be controlled by his devotees. So, all the previous acharyas, they have given us everything. Everything is open for us. We cannot make mistake. In this Kali Yuga we must accept 100% this process of chanting purely the holy name of the Lord. This chanting is the most important part of our daily activities. Because this chanting is what is purifying our consciousness. It's not that we do something in between, okay, I'll chant my round later. Of course, the pujari, they cannot chant early in the morning because they have to do so many services. Or the ladies sometimes that perform service like connecting with the flower of the deity, dressing the deity, cooking for the deity. So they have a special blessing they can chant later. But for all the other devotees who have service during the day, then we should wake up in the morning and dedicate some amount of time to hear and chanting nicely this Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. This is the Yuga Dharma. Kaler dosani de rajanasti eko mahabhuna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha parambhajit. So, in this Kali Yuga, this chanting is the most powerful. Sankirtana. Those who are intelligent in this Kali Yuga will perform Harinam Sankirtana. So the devotees, they must perform all the jagya, they must read all the scripture, they must have done all the austerity, all the penances. And now they come to the conclusion of chanting the holy name. Therefore they are worshipable by us. Those are great souls. Those who are chanting the holy name of the Lord, very, very powerful devotees. And by this chanting process, we can go back home, back to God. Srila Prabhupada was asked, when we go back to the spiritual world, how we will recognize you? You will have a different form. And Srila Prabhupada answered, he said, how a child recognizes his mother? See, a child when he cries, there are so many women around. Everybody's trying to, oh, come, go. But only when she goes in the bosom of the mother, he stops crying. Why? He can feel the love of the mother. So he says, similarly, the love you will feel for me, you will recognize me. Very deep. So similarly, we have to develop love for Krishna. Actually, Krishna loves us much more than what we love him. He is very eager to take us back home. And the other day, I had a great realization. I was thinking, one time we were in Italy, with my children, we were small, and we went and see this aeronautical display where they show all the airplane, helicopter, tanks, and all these things. And they had a simulator You know what is a simulator? That helicopter simulator. You look like a helicopter. You sit inside, all the instrument, everything is there. It's mounted on a platform which moves this way, that way. You know? And then there is an instructor next to you. You say, okay, you sit here. And in the front, there is this glass, which is like a video. You say, okay, I'll teach you how to fly this helicopter. You say, pull this lever. This is the speed. This is your left, right, up, down. You see all the instruments teaching you. And then you was flying. And then sometimes you make mistake, you know, boom, crash. Uh-oh, you crash. Okay, try again. So, for us, ISKCON is like a giant simulator. It is a simulator of the spiritual world. Hey, tomorrow you go back to God, there is Mangalarti there. And Radha and Krishna, Radha Madhava and the Gopi, they're standing there. They're looking at you. And you worship them. And you sing for them. They're real, they're there. Even now they're real. We cannot perceive them, but they're real. So it's like a simulator. Okay, you make some mistake. Okay, no problem. Come back here. Try again. You won't die. Nothing happened. You fall down. Okay, no problem. Doesn't matter. Come back. Chant again. Hare Krishna. Perform the devotional service. Situate yourself. It's like a giant simulator, isn't it? What do you say? Does it make sense? So, Srila Prabhupada brought the spiritual world into the material realm for us to perform the devotional service. This is like the embassy of the spiritual world. When we go to the Italian embassy in Calcutta, we see all the photographs of Rome and St. Peter Church, and some people speak Italian, even though they are Bengali. So it's like representative of Italy is there. Not very nice, but okay. You know, you get your visa and go. So if we are in the material world, ISKCON is like spiritual, you know, embassy of the spiritual world. And it's actually very nice, we should say. Of course, so many things may happen. But, you know, Prabhupada said, don't be amazed how many people will go away. Be amazed how many people remain. So by the blessing of the Vaishnava, we are surrounded by thousands of devotees here in Mayapur. We have this great fortune, this great opportunity to perfect our life in this very lifetime. And padam padam yadvi padam natesham, this material world is very slippery. Anytime, anybody can go. The other day, one girl who lives just opposite to my house, small girl, 9-10 years old, she went to take bath in the Ganges with the mother and the other daughter. There were so many people, and everybody's planes, splashing, and this girl slowly went down. Nobody saw her. By the time they realized it was too late, she's gone. So who can tell? Again, my grandfather used to say, you know where you take birth, but you don't know where you're going to die, and when. So we must be ready. Anytime. Anything can happen. So therefore, we should not say, oh, let me become old, oh, wait after some time. No. Now, subhasyasi gram, now we must take to pure devotional service. Why not? Who is stopping us? The GPC is not stopping us. The temple president is not stopping us. The general manager is not stopping us. The pujari are not stopping us. No one is stopping us. You can say, Krishna, sorry, I didn't come this time because that guy's fault, you know. He harassed me so much, you know, that guy didn't give me prasad, this guy didn't give me fasim. No. No one can blame anybody but us. We have to be ready. We have to be firm in our conviction, in our faith. We can do it today. Why wait tomorrow? Tomorrow maybe we are not there. Something is going to happen. So are we ready? When we look every day, we brush our teeth, we shave our face, make up for the lady in the mirror, we ask ourselves, am I ready today to go to you, Krishna? Yes? Ready? Yes? Ready? We are all ready. Okay then, we are in the spiritual world. We have to be ready, because anything can happen. It's going to definitely happen to sometime. So why not be ready today? Why don't we write a list? What did I do today for Krishna? What did I do for myself? Then we figure it out. okay, how far we are? Still have a long way to go? Okay. Let me take association of the Vaishnavas. Let me ask, how can I advance? Why am I so attached to all these things? Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj said that one, we are Grihastha, we are children, we are family, we have duty, but one can live as a Vaishnava within that atmosphere. Just we have to see everything properly. Who is my wife? She is actually one of the gopis, one of the representatives of Radharani. By Guru's and Krishna's mercy, she has been given to me to take care of her so together we can perform devotional service. Who is the husband? The wife should see, oh, my husband is representative of Guru Krishna. Let me serve him nicely. So, by his blessing and his protection, I can go back to Krishna. So there is Vaishnavas, Grihastha life, Grihastha ashram. Both husband and wife cooperate together for producing nice Krishna conscious children so they can go back home back to God. There's no Maya in there. And if husband and wife cooperate together, they are living in Vaikuntha. There's so much happiness. It's there. So one has to learn how to see things properly. Because we see everything, so many things every day. But I'm sure the scientists see it different way. And the artists see things in different way. A businessman see things in different way. We see a tree. The artist looks, oh, beautiful this tree, nice flower, green color, so nice. The businessman see the tree, thinks, I'll cut this tree and make 5 lakh rupees. And the devotee see the tree, say, oh, nice, it's giving shade. So let's go and chant Hare Krishna underneath this tree. The tree become purified, all the people become purified. So how we see things? We're all seeing with the same eyes. But what is the filter behind those eyes? Is the consciousness. How we want to see, how we want to choose to see things. The Acharya, they're giving us the way to see. Jnana Chakshu, they're giving us knowledge by which we can see things properly. How we see the whole material world is full of objects for pleasure of Krishna. That is this material world. Yes, it's Dukkhalayam Asaswatam. Yes, it's temporary. Yes, but I can engage every single thing which I see for Krishna's pleasure. Because everything is connected with Krishna. There is nothing but Krishna and His energy. And if I connect those things with Krishna, then I become purified. The moment I think, oh, let me enjoy these things, I am in Maya. Does it make sense? So, we must learn to see. Just like a mechanic, he sees through the ear. He can hear the sound of the engine. He can tell you, this piston is broken. The plug needs to be changed. The point needs to be changed. How does he know? He doesn't open the engine, but simply by the sound, he can tell. So, this transcendental sound vibration of the chanting of the holy name, when performed purely, without the offenses, in association with Vaishnava, and a little prasadam we take, that's all. Prabhupada said this process is very simple. We chant Hare Krishna, we dance in ecstasy, we are tired, take some prasadam. Simple. It's simple for those who are simple, it's complicated for those who are complicated. So let's simplify our life, let's prepare ourselves, let's follow this Bhakti Yoga system, process given by the Acharya and Srila Prabhupada, and we go back home, back to God in a very happy way. Thank you very much for listening. Hare Krishna. If you have any question, great devotees are here. Yes, Vasudev Prabhu. I'm sure you have the first questions. No microphone is. You can speak. No problem.
Thank you, Prabhu. You mentioned that the birds are glorifying Krishna. It's just that we don't see it. That we don't see it that way.
Speaking of mind. Yeah.
In fact, so is that seeing from an absolute platform?
I don't understand the question.
It's not. First of all, you mentioned that the birds glorify Krishna.
Oh yes, yes. Yeah, that's mentioned in Navadvipa Mahatmya. All the animals, they're actually glorifying Gauranga Mahu in Navadvipa. We cannot hear them, they speak different language, but they're actually chanting the name of Krishna and Gauranga.
Yeah, is that seeing things from an absolute platform, like an Uttamadhikari, making everyone as a devotee? Because if we say this, we can also say that all people glorify Krishna. They may not be aware of it, even enjoying, you know, sense enjoyment. We are only, the only thing we can enjoy is Krishna. We just don't know it. So we are after sense enjoyment, but we can't avoid Krishna. We are enjoying Him. In the same way, we may be an atheist, but we have this ideal of helping others. And that is our conception of devotional service, where we are at, that's our consciousness. We're trying, we're enjoying, but we're also trying our best. So isn't can't we say the same thing about people as we say about the animals?
Well, if I understand properly, within my limitation of knowledge, is, do we understand that, you know, the acharyas and Srila Prabhupada have given us instruction how to see things and how to distinguish things. Srila Prabhupada said there are three levels of devotee. There is Kanista, Madhyama, Uttama. Uttama devotee, he doesn't preach. He sees everybody as devotee. He sees everybody engaged in devotional service. But even in such an Uttama platform, devotees, he comes down to the Madhyama platform to preach Krishna consciousness because he understands that it's needed. Yeah, there is different vision. So, if you are from the Madhyama platform, and because we are instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to spread the holy name in every corner of the world, so we are doing that work, we are doing that service. And as far as enjoying Krishna, yes, we enjoy chanting of the holy name, we enjoy taking nice prasadam, we enjoy serving together with the body, we enjoy the bhajan, but that's not material enjoyment, that's spiritual enjoyment. But when we only seek material enjoyment separated from Krishna, that is called Maya. See, electricity is one. It's just a copper wire which is conducive to bring electricity. But that electricity can be applied for the fridge which produces ice, and can also be applied for the heater which produces hot water. So the energy of the Lord are multivariate. And the Lord is omnipotent, omnipresent. So it's only us, you know, which can make the difference. Do we want to apply and utilize the energy in the service of Krishna for Krishna's pleasure? Then we are devotees. And if we want to utilize Krishna's energy for our own sense enjoyment, independent from the Lord, that is called illusion. I don't know if this is clear, but we have to at one point make distinction. What is me and I and mine? I am the center of the universe. And what is me? I'm the servant of Krishna. I am meant to be served, to give pleasure to the Lord. I am only insignificant speck of dust. And whenever the devotee asks me to do some service, I should be favorably performed. Does this answer your question?
Yes, so if I understand your answer, yeah. What you're saying is that the statement that all the animals glorify Krishna is from the Uttama Adhikari platform.
Yes, of course.
Otherwise, if it's Madhyam, he would say that the animals are simply, you know, in complete ignorance, basically.
Well, in Navadvip, in Mayapur, even the animal, even though they are in ignorance, he said this is going to be their last birth. If somebody makes a mistake, or maybe take, you know, Janivas Prabhu and Pankajangri can confirm this, but I believe that the animals living in the holy dam, when they leave their body, they go back to the spiritual world. Because they are in the holy dam. Is it correct, Janivas Prabhu? Please correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, so.
But it also says that if we die in the dam, whether
you go back to God, yes.
So isn't it similar?
Yeah, it's true. Why not? But do you know where you're going to die? Maybe you're driving to Calcutta, maybe you're flying to Paris, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. Yes, but it's true. The statement is true. Wherever you live, by accident, whether you live by this or that, in the night or the day, if you leave the body in the holy dump, you go back to God. It's correct? Sorry? We are in the right place, in the right time, in the right boat, I guess. So let's dedicate our life to the Holy Dhamma. Huh? The Holy Dhamma is so powerful, giving shelter to so many devotees. Let's do something for this Holy Dhamma. Let's glorify the Holy Dhamma, introduce the Holy Dhamma to other people. You are doing nice videos, so you can make some nice video of Holy Dhamma. Yes, Prabhu.
Suppose a person is very sinful in the Dhamma. Will he still attain bhakti after leaving the body?
Please, this question, I think Johnny Osprabhu can answer. Give the microphone to him.
Suppose a person is very sinful, extremely sinful, and he lives in the Dhamma. When he dies, does he go back home?
Give him the mic. Give him the mic, please. Thank you.
See, there are many people living in the Dhamma, right in at the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they're killing cows. They're killing cows even today, so it's considered very simple. So devotee told me one time that they again take their birth in the Dhamma. Yeah, they can take birth as animals.
So they take birth as an animal,
that's
and then
what, that's what Srila Prabhupada said.
That also reconnects with you.
Srila Prabhupada said that if a person is very sinful and he lives in the Dhamma, he will be take birth again as an animal in the Dhamma, and he will suffer. That's why you see most of the animals in the Dhamma. They don't have an easy life. They don't have an easy life. Because of their sinful activities in the past life, they take birth as animals, they become purified, and go back home back to them. That is what Srila Prabhupada said.
But the devotees are not sinful. The devotees are performing devotional service.
Devotees are not sinful, but
how can you?
There are devotees who may exhibit sinful behavior.
Yeah, but also there is a consideration of, if that was a temporary slip down, or it was which they continue to maintain for a long time.
It's like you were saying before, it's a matter of consciousness.
Yes. So if the devotee become atone himself, means if he asks forgiveness and he understands he has done a mistake, and he actually, feels so repentant, then
so
maybe the devotee and
Krishna. It's not automatic.
Nothing is automatic.
So it's not that a person who lives in the Dhamma automatically goes back. He may take birth as an animal. So
yes.
That danger is there.
Yes, the danger is there. So, sadhus have done. The devotee says, sadhus have done.
Especially the devotee. Yes. So it is not that, okay, I'm coming to the dam, I'll do any damn thing I want, and I'll go back home.
Srila Prabhupada said that sometimes if a common thief is taken and put in prison, it's okay. But if a judge is being caught stealing or cheating, then the punishment is much greater. So we, as a devotee, we have knowledge. That's the difference in us and the ignorant people. The Acharya gives us illumination. So we should know what is sinful and what is pious. We should know what is right, what is wrong. We should know how to control our senses and control the mind. This is the whole process of bhakti, right? But by accident can happen.
That's the difference.
So if accident happened, Krishna forgive, the Vaishnava forgive.
My question was if a person is very sinful.
If he remains sinful, then definitely he has to take birth as an animal and then Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji, some question. She's catching her.
She's asking that. She heard that you were mentioning that if someone leaves the Dhamma, we should encourage them or force them. We should encourage them to keep on. But sometimes there are persons who are asked to leave the dam, and if they are asked to leave the dam, how can we be sure that this is gonna, they are gonna come back into their practices of Krishna consciousness?
See, once we accept Krishna consciousness, wherever we are, we can practice Krishna consciousness. Even though we are sinful, we may be requested not to live in association with devotees. If our desire can drive us crazy, our desire can drive us away from devotional path. So, but if somebody is intelligent, he will understand that, okay, I made a mistake. I must take shelter of the devotee. Maybe not in Holidam, maybe some other place. But there are so many holy places. And there are so many things we can do to recover ourselves. Chanting of the holy name is so powerful that can actually remove any interruption or any sinful activity or any misunderstanding. But we must surrender to the holy name. Like somebody say, okay, I'm not able to chant purely. What should I do? Chant. I'm not chanting, I'm making so many offenses in chanting. What is the process to purify myself? Chant. It's not that you can do something else. The process is chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So we have to have the faith that due to our conditioning, we are not able to chant purely. But we have to have faith that we can come to that platform of chanting purely. So even if the devotee has been asked to be away from the association of the devotee, he can find some other place where there are devotees and associate and repent himself and correct himself, requalify himself to come back. Ask Krishna, please bless me that I can come back in the association of the devotees. Prayer is very powerful. And if we pray to the Lord loves us so much. And the devotee also loves us so much, so they'll forgive us. But we have to be righteous. We have to be sure not to make the same mistake. Prabhupada say, okay, you can make one mistake, two mistakes, three mistakes. But if you keep on doing mistake, the same mistake, then you are a rascal. So we should correct ourselves. We cannot make the same mistake and think, it's okay, I'll chant the holy name and become purified. I'll chant the holy name, then we are not better than the Christians. They perform sinful activity all week. On Sunday we go to church. Oh, Ave Maria, Veneti Grazie, we chant, okay, please forgive me. Go and take the things, go to the priest, say, I'm a sinner, okay. Chant three prayers, your sin is finished. Next Monday, start again. Hey, this is like baiting of the elephant. The elephant going to take bath in the Ganges, then takes all the clay, throw it all over again. What's the benefit of such a life? So one should control his senses. How? Starting with the tongue. Prasadam is very powerful. Yes? So we take prasadam. We become purified. But the tongue, the stomach, and the genu, they are in line. If we can control the senses, then we can control the mind. If we can control the mind with a higher intelligence, then we are properly situated. So everything starts from the senses. We have to know how much to take. Prabhupada says some of the sannyasis fall down because they took too much mahaprasadam. Very rich, cooking it. Yes? Maharaj said, bring it all plate and eat himself. Okay, what about us? Nothing for you. Okay. Then he fall down. What happened to the money? It's gone. So one has to be able to understand how much we need. We need to eat something. But how much we need food? Are we eating for gratifying our senses? Or are we eating just to maintain the body and soul together to perform devotional service? In fact, okay, you're smiling at me. I'm trying to reduce it. So, but that's the idea. So we have to regulate ourselves for Krishna's pleasure. It's not difficult, it's not impossible. With higher intelligence, just like when we are sick, we see nice pizza, nice cake, wow, I want to eat it, but better I don't eat it, otherwise I end up in the toilet all day, right? So we don't eat, because higher intelligence telling us, okay, it's good, but don't eat it, because you're sick. So like that, we regulate ourselves, okay, you need to eat this much you need. How much you need? You can go and eat in the big kitchen every day. They come with a bucket this big. You can eat this much. But do you need that much? We don't. So take only what we need. Does it make sense? Yes. I think we can. It's 9 o'clock. Hare Krishna. Let's go and take some prasad. Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki.